Chapter 13. A Bloody Reunion. Magna Macrag Civitas, Eastern Keep. A thunderhawk, hastily summoned, conveyed the salamanders from the Heptapigeon fortress to the Eastern Keep. They landed amidst squalls of rising dust and some alarm, given the suddenness of their arrival. Before the cobalt blue-clad guards could intercede against the three draconic legionaries, who leapt eagerly from the gaping side-hatch of the gunship, Aeonid Thiel and Vitus Invilio emerged from the depths of the bastion to act as escort. Both were armed, but their weapons were slung and sheathed. Thiel raised his left hand, palm outwards, to the salamanders. "Slowly," he warned. "This is precisely why you weren't told." Zitos was first to reply, his anger getting the better of him. "Our father's murderer is in one of your cells, and you did not see fit to tell us. We have been in the city for months." Vakir diffused the situation before Thiel had to. "Be calm, Zitos. You forget your blood." "It flows like magma through my veins, chaplain," he replied, teeth clenched. Numeon ignored them both, instead meeting face to face with Thiel.
"Varkir and I will go with you," he told the ultramarine. "I will see the traitor known as Barthusa Narek now. We have history, he and I. A lot of legionaries are dead because of him."
Thiel didn't move. Neither did Zitos, despite Numeon's pronouncement, which said a lot about the salamander's captain's charisma and influence with the rest of the 18th. It struck Thiel in that moment that, bereft of their primarch, Artellus Numeon was legion master in all but name. He said nothing of these thoughts, stating instead,
"I do not have sanction to allow you to kill him, Artellus, much as I would like to let you."
"I give you my solemn word," Numeon replied, laying his clenched fist across his breast in the style of the ultramarines.
Thiel paused, assessing the threat evident in both salamanders. It was a habit he could not shake, even around allies. Finding no reason to doubt, or perhaps not really caring to, he nodded to Invilio, who quickly ushered the tense-looking guards aside.
"When we enter the Eastern Keep," Thiel told them as they followed Invilio, "you follow my exact word and do not deviate from it."
Numeon's face was unreadable.
"Understood."
Varkir quietly nodded. The four legionaries passed through the gate and into the keep. Like a statue of onyx, Zitos dutifully waited for them outside. He seethed with anger, but quickly realized this was precisely why Numeon had left him behind. The bowels of the Eastern Keep were deep and went down into the bedrock of Macrag. Here, Thiel told them, was where they were holding Barthusa Narek. Other prisoners were also incarcerated within the bastion, but none had been held as long as this particular word-bearer.
"I have summoned Titus Prato," said Thiel, as the four walked in near lockstep down stout corridors of steel and stone, "though I suspect he is already well aware of your presence."
He cast a quick glance in Varkir's direction, who had the good grace not to deny it.
"How did you get him to tell you?"
Thiel asked, his eyes fixed ahead again.
"He offered without need of request."
Thiel nodded, approving.
"Has the traitor been interrogated?" asked Numeon.
"Vigorously," said Thiel, "to the point of it no longer being useful."
Varkir laughed as they descended, first steps and then onto an open-caged platform that would ferry them part of the way.
"For an ultramarine, you are surprisingly liberated."
"So I am often told."
"I imagine it is not always to your benefit."
"You'd be right."
On the way to the lifter, Thiel acknowledged every guard they passed, all of whom saluted in turn. Each was a legionary, for no other warriors could be trusted to secure the prisoners within. Once everyone was aboard, Invilio activated the lifter.
"This will convey us part of the way down," he explained,
but Barthusa Narek's cell is subterranean. The rest of the way will be on foot.
Numeon didn't answer. He appeared insular, marshalling his resolve for a reunion with the Vigilator who slew Helon, Uzak, Sharka, and Pergelen on Trioris. The last death Numeon could not be sure of, but he quietly murmured the Iron Hand's legionary's name to himself in a mantra, just like he did the others.
Artellus, said Thiel, as the lifter ground to a clanking halt. Chains rattled and the settling metal groaned as the carriage hit solid ground. Artellus, he repeated more firmly.
Numeon looked at him.
I made a solemn vow, said the salamander. I won't break it. I won't kill him. Not yet.
Invelio appeared anxious, glancing at his sergeant for reassurance. After a few seconds, Thiel shrugged, yanking back the concertina gate that had closed off the lifter cage during the descent.
Then that'll have to be good enough.
Invelio led. They followed. A flight of narrow steps took them downwards. Worn stone, flickering firelight reaching from sconces in the walls, it had the grim aspect of the ancient. Perhaps Narek would be tied to the rack or hanging from a gibbet. After the second stairwell, Thiel's vox feed crackled. He paused, signalling for the others to do the same, then bade the speaker on the other end to report. He listened while the others waited. When Thiel was done, he shut down the feed and drew his bolt pistol. So did Invelio.
What is it? Asked Varkir.
Numeon unsheathed the Ultramarian gladius at his hip. Neither Thiel nor Invelio tried to stop him or protest.
He's loose, isn't he?
Thiel scowled.
There are six guards below, he said. Ultramarines, our brothers. None have reported in.
There's something else, too, said Varkir, unhitching a dragon-headed mace from his belt. Can't you smell it?
He paused a beat for the others to catch up.
It's blood.
Invelio found the first body. Slumped against an alcove outside one of the lower cells, the ultramarine's throat had been torn out. He knew of only one thing that could inflict such a wound. Kneeling beside the corpse, checking in vain for vital signs, Invelio turned to Thiel.
Unburdened.
Twice now Invelio had fought them. It seemed he was destined to do so a third time.
Are we to be forever blighted by such creatures? He said, uttering the thought aloud.
Thiel didn't answer, but looked grim. He holstered his pistol and drew both his close combat weapons instead. One was a finely wrought longsword which hummed as he fed power to the blade. The other was a short, stabbing gladius, a replacement for the one he had given to Numeon.
Is he a demon?
Thiel asked the salamanders flatly.
Narek, is his flesh possessed? That is what it means among the word-bearers, to be unburdened, to be bereft of your soul.
Numeon gave a subtle shake of the head.
I believe some of his allies on Trioris were touched, but him I don't know.
There's more, said Varkir, having moved to investigate the open cell. Here!
Within lingered a second legionary, also dead but clad in dirty white and blue. Like the slain ultramarine, the World Eater's end had been messy. Blood and viscera painted the walls. Invelio got to his feet and drew his sword. Thiel's scowl deepened as he regarded the corpse. He took the lead.
Stay close.
Three further cells lay open on the way to where Barthusa Narek was being held, their occupants butchered. One had been ripped apart, his limbs scattered like chaff during a red harvest. Another hung by a noose of entrails. Of the third victim, nothing remained but a pool of congealed blood. Guards torn apart and slain worsened the grisly vista. Taken by surprise, some had failed even to draw a weapon.
In the lowest subterranean level of the bastion, there was evidence of bolter shell damage to the walls, and legionaries who had fought and died instead of being slaughtered at their posts. No alarm had been raised, no warning given. The prison massacre had happened quickly.
"There is more to this than we are seeing," said Numeon as they neared the last cell and Barthuza Narek.
"Agreed," Theel replied, gesturing to the obvious.
A long corridor led to the deepest, darkest hole in the keep. It had a mild slope. Spilled blood slowly trickled down it as if leading them. The air was thick, warm, and metallic on the tongue.
"What do you see?" Numeon asked.
"An end to interrogating prisoners on Macragge," said Invelio. Theel slowed almost imperceptibly, a theoretical forming.
"A trail that leads to Narek's cell."
Numeon jutted his chin towards it. They ran, their heavy boots hammered loudly down the corridor. Theel found the cell already unlocked and muttered,
"Every door, a new horror."
Then he kicked the door wide open. A legionary, clad in crimson plate, stood before them, obscured by shadows and with his head bowed. The interruption made him straighten, as if ending a conversation more abruptly than he wanted to, but there was no one else in the chamber.
"Believe it or not," said the figure, "this isn't how I wanted matters to play out."
Theel took three slow steps inside, checking his flanks for any sign of ambush.
"Narek of the Word," he declared calmly to the warrior's back once he was inside. "You will face a reckoning for this."
Numeon had moved up to his left, Invelio to his right. Varkir guarded the door to prevent the traitor's escape. As the word-bearer lifted his head, Numeon's grip on the gladius tightened.
"You are not Barthuza Narek," he said,
as he recognized the traitor's face.
"Where is he?"
The word-bearer frowned.
"Isn't that the very question?" said Zenut Sul, "before he attacked."
Zenut Sul was fast, faster than any legionary wearing battle plate had a right to be. But he was not a legionary, not in the truest sense. Strictly speaking, he was not even a man. Theel leapt aside as the unburdened came at them, scattering the warriors and smashing Varkir through the open cell and back out into the corridor. Zenut Sul then wheeled around, ignoring the prostrate salamander incapacitated behind him, and turned on the others. It was obvious now that escape had never been Zenut Sul's intention. He had failed in whatever mission he had been given, and now it would end in blood. A transformation had begun to take place in Zenut Sul. He appeared larger, stronger, his armor straining to contain his bulk. His nails pierced the fingertips of his gauntlets, protruding in dagger-length talons. Once human eyes became fathomless pools of black, glinting like oil in the half-light. For a moment, they held the legionaries in thrall, until Theel cried out,
"Kill it!"
He hacked off Zenut Sul's hand at the wrist as it reached to choke him, eliciting a grunt of pain from the unburdened. Fleshy tendrils spewed eagerly from the stump, thrashing with unnatural vigor. One coiled around Thiel's outstretched leg and hurled him across the cell. He hit the wall hard, cracking ceramite, and stayed prone. The other two tendrils stuck Invelio hard in the chest like a clenched fist and sent him sprawling. Unsheathing Drokoros from his back, with the gladius in his other hand, Numeon stood his ground. His voice echoed around the small chamber.
"Vulcan lives!"
Zenut Sul laughed, an ugly, discordant noise that gnawed at Numeon's nerves. Mutating rapidly, the tendrils had entwined into a bulbous mace of flesh. The word-bearer swung it like a wrecking ball, caving in parts of the cell wall, ripping out chunks of stone and filling the air with dust, narrowly missing the salamander's head as he ducked. Numeon lunged and met unyielding ceramite. Parrying a thrust of Zenutsul's claws, but holding position, he lunged again. He found a gap, the straining plate ill-suited to protecting Zenutsul's expanding musculature. Skin and dermis parted, releasing a spurt of vitae. Zenutsul roared. At least they now knew they could hurt it. Leaving his gladius impaled in the unburdened's chest, Numion cleaved into Zenutsul's shoulder with Drokoros. It sank deep, greedily chewing flesh, echoing what the teeth would have done during life. Numion drew the blade back and forth, sawing. His armor was spattered with vile gore, not blood, nothing so mundane as that, but an Icarus substitute. It stank, threatening to overpower the salamander with sheer foulness. This was the taint of the warp, the reek of what lay beyond the veil, the corruption in men's souls, and the putrefaction of fell deeds given form and sentience. Numion wished bitterly that he had a flamer to burn this wretched thing back to its hell, but would make do with the sword.
"Bites hard, like my anger,"
he snarled as the serrated teeth met bone and snagged. Crazed with agony, Zenutsul heaved Numion up off his feet and crushed him against the partially destroyed cell wall, but the salamander held on grimly. He left Drokoros deeply embedded, but wrenched out the gladius with two hands and stabbed down into Zenutsul's exposed neck. It sank to the hilt, Numeon's gauntlets slick and dark. The unburdened recoiled, staggering backwards, and Numion fell as he was released. He caught hold of the serrated sword's grip, and his momentum dragged it loose, razor teeth clogged with ruddy flesh. Invelio recovered fast and was back on his feet. Numion caught sight of the ultramarine in his peripheral vision, but his relief turned to horror as Zenutsul reacted faster. The unburdened turned on Invelio, who stalled momentarily as he recalled Leagus split in two aboard the Dark Sacrament. Zenutsul wrenched every scrap of memory from him.
"It was no way for a warrior to die," he hissed, and punched the talons of his remaining hand through Invelio's undefended chest.
The ultramarine gurgled, small air bubbles of blood bursting through his vox grill before his blades slipped loose and he sagged, impaled on Zenutsul's knife talons. Fueled by a desire for vengeance, Numion surged to his feet, but Zenutsul already had his measure too. Choking tendrils whipped viperously around the salamander's neck, constricting his throat. Black oblivion crowded his vision before Numion hacked the tendrils apart with a tired but heavy blow. He gagged, fetching up bile that he spewed down his chin. Zenutsul's frenzied counter hammered him to his knees. The clattering reply of Drokoros spilling from Numeon's loose grip was like a death knell. They had hurt the unburdened, wounded it deeply, but it wasn't dead. That only increased its lethality, a beast cornered and fighting for survival.
"I will not stop until every legionary in this hole is dead," it declared in a bestial voice. "No amount of death will sate me."
Blood flowed from his nose and mouth, and the dull pain of several fractures in his rib shell and right shoulder were burning for his attention. But Numion looked up into the face of his attacker. Zenutsul's gaze was pitiless, and though his mass and limbs were grotesque, the warrior's face still looked much as it had. "Not a man at all," Numion reminded himself. "A demon." With one hand braced against the floor to support his weight, Numion reached for a weapon with his other. He still had Basilisk tucked in its holster, but instead, his fingers touched the haft of the sigil and clenched around it as though it were the tether of his mortal thread. In the old beliefs, those that predated the Emperor's age of enlightenment and scientific endeavor, superstition had power. Belief, it was said, could summon the miraculous. Faith in something greater, something pure, when espoused by a pious man, could become a sword against old night. Numeon did not believe in all the myths of ancient Nocturne, but he believed in Vulcan, and brandished the Primarch's sigil like a purifying flame. The significance of the deed and the moment was not lost on him, and he roared defiantly,
"Vulcan lives!"
As he caught sight of the sigil, Zenutsul froze. Just as it had with poor Invelio, it proved a crucial hesitation. Three hard percussive bangs echoed thunderously around the cell, jerking Zenutsul's malformed body as the mass reactives embedded within him exploded. Snarling from the impacts, the word-bearer was wrenched from his trance to confront his attackers. Zitos, Varkir, and the two ultramarines from the guardhouse had unslung bolters aimed at the unburdened.
"Down!"
shouted Zitos. With what little strength he still had, Numeon hurled his body aside as a storm of shells struck Zenutsul. Chunks of flesh, bone, and armor plate were blasted off the unburdened. Zenutsul staggered against the intense fusillade, but survived. Thronged with smoke and the reek of cordite, the air carried Zenutsul's mocking laughter as his flesh began to re-knit. Zitos wasn't done.
"Reload!"
Bracing himself for another salvo, Zenutsul shaped to charge the warriors laying down fire from the corridor. Thiel was back on his feet. The electromagnetic longsword crackled in his fist.
"Let's try that again," he told the abomination. "For Invelio!"
And jammed the blade right where Zenutsul's heart should be. A second hail of shells struck the unburdened. Zenutsul thrashed and spat, cursing as he was slowly torn asunder. As the shell storm abated, Numeon staggered to his feet. He was hurt, but had enough strength left to finish it.
"You are weak," he said, wielding Drokoros again, "because you are impure. You just don't have the wit to see it. I will show you."
He swung the sword. Zenutsul's eyes widened, his all-too-human face contorted with fear as Numeon decapitated him. Headless, Zenutsul's corpse slumped to its feet and fell forwards.
"Thrown, he was an ugly bastard," spat Thiel, wiping the gory blade of his deactivated longsword.
He spared a glance for Invelio. Not the first of the red-marked he had lost, but every one hurt like a knife in his own flesh.
"We have to lock down the Eastern Keep," said Numeon.
"For what good it will do," said Thiel, but nodded to the two ultramarines from the guardhouse to do just that.
Numeon uttered aloud what they were all thinking.
"Barthusar Narek is gone, and not by the hand of the enemy."